Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please, those that are downstairs, please come upstairs. The program is about to begin. And keep in mind the respect of the masjid.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We won't keep you very long tonight. Tonight is primarily a night of ibadah, a night of dua, a night of zikr. Akhir, even this gathering is an ibadah and a zikr and dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa ma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وَعَلَىٰ آلِ سَيِّدُنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكْ وَسَلَّمْ. Last night we explained to you about harkat, hararat, tazakkur, tabattul, but the asal and ultimate and real reason we do zikr of Allah Ta'ala is to get the lutf and lazzat of following the sharia. That the sweetness and pleasure and enjoyment and following the Sharia and Sunnah is more than any other feeling, any other reason we may make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright. Now, all of this was about first lesson in our silsilah, in our tariqah, which is known as Latifa Qalb. Now I want you to understand a few words and a few terms which I'll explain to you, and then I will just use those terms in Arabic. So, this word Latif, so one of Allah Ta'ala's names, sifati names, is Al-Latif, Al-Latif. Then, in Arabic, what this means is the subtle, the subtlety of Allah Ta'ala's essence, the sublimeness of Allah Ta'ala's essence. He's Al-Latif, Al-Latif. And Allah Ta'ala, when He created me and you, He created two things. One is our body was created in the womb of our mother, and that was 9 months process of gestation, conception, gestation, childbirth. Then we go through all types of stages of infant development. That was our body. But there's another thing Allah Ta'ala created, which is called a ruh. Our ruh did not go through any stages of development. Our ruh was created by Allah Ta'ala in a flash of an instant. Kun fayakun. That's how He created our ruh. He simply willed our ruh to exist, and our ruh came into existence. This itself is a beautiful thing that Deen of Islam teaches us. That our ruh, which is more important than our body came into existence because our parents willed to marry each other. our ruh came in existence because Allah Ta'ala willed it. You know, like they say, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam didn't have a father and a mother. It means physically. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam didn't have a father but had a mother. That means physically. But each and every one of us, in terms of our body, we have a father and mother. But our ruh was made directly by Allah Ta'ala way before we were born in this world. Then what Allah Ta'ala did is He simultaneously, in one shot, created the ruh of every single human being. From the time of Adam alayhi salam all the way till the end of time. The only exception to this is before He created, these the two exceptions you can say, is the very first ruh Allah Ta'ala created, and according to many ulama, in fact, the very first thing Allah Ta'ala, the very first creation Allah Ta'ala created was the ruh of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that means at some point, we can't understand this, but some point if you go back billions, trillions, whatever, X number of years, there was a time when Allah Ta'ala existed alone. He had not created anything. Even He had not created the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ruh, nor the Qalam, nor the Lawh, nor Jannah, not Jannanam, not the Arsh, not the Kursi, not an angel. And we say in the field of Arabic, Huwa al-an kama kan, that Allah Ta'ala remains now as He was. He exists now as He existed before He even created anything. Means His act of creating things doesn't bring about any change in Himself, but it brings about a change in the created world. So after creating the Nur and the Ruh of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then obviously then creating the Ruh of Adam alayhi salam, then in one shot Allah Ta'ala created all of the other arwah and ruh of all of humanity. Then what happened, then Allah Ta'ala mentions this process in Quran, then Allah Ta'ala gathered all the ruhs together. This is arwah in Arabic. Every single ruh means billions and billions and billions of ruh. And He gathered them all together in a grand assembly. And then He manifested Himself in all of His beauty to those arwah. And then He addressed those ruh and asked them a question. Alastu bi rabbikum. It's Quran, this dialogue. Alastu bi rabbikum. Am I not your Rabb? Am I not your Lord? Qalu bala. Every single human ruh affirmed that yes, Allah Ta'ala, you and you alone are our Rabb. Everyone, even those who may call themselves atheists and disbelievers today, even the criminals of today, every single ruh, even the ruh of Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab at that moment, said bala, said yes, Allah, we affirm that you, Allah, are our Rabb. Then Allah knows best how many more billions of years took place before me and you were born on earth. Alright? And all this also is even before Allah Ta'ala created the physical universe. All of this is taking place in the realm of the angels. So what does it mean now, simply speaking in simple English, that inside each and every one of us is a ruh that is even older than the Big Bang? Yeah. That's what we tell people. That inside you have a ruh that's even older than the Big Bang. You're an ancient creature. So science begins the story of the Big Bang. Every one of us has a ruh that's been around for longer than the Big Bang. Because the Big Bang is the beginning of Allah Ta'ala's sabab through which He created physical creation, and the spiritual creation Allah Ta'ala created that before. Allahu Akbar. Now where was this ruh all this time? Before Big Bang, means trillions, jillions of years, up to the time when me and you were born. So who was taking care of that ruh? Allah Ta'ala. So now imagine that inside you have a ruh, that Allah Ta'ala has already took care of that ruh for billions and billions of years. And after you die, Allah Ta'ala wants to take care of our ruh forever, for future forever. All we had to do was take care of this ruh for 60, 70, 80 years on earth. That's it. That's called life. Allah Ta'ala taking care of our ruh all the time from Yawmi Alas, from Alas to Birabbukum. Until the moment the ruh came into our fetus when we were in our mother's womb. And same Allah Ta'ala would take care of that same ruh after we die for all of forever. All we had to do was take care of our ruh in this life, in this world. How do we take care of our ruh? It's very simple. Your body, the health and nourishment of your body will come from this world, because your body was created in this world. So your body needs to eat, your body needs to drink, your body needs oxygen, your body needs favorable climate, favorable conditions. It needs things from this world because it was made from this world. But the ruh isn't made from this world. Ruh is made by Allah Ta'ala directly, kun fiyakun. Ruh was made even before the world was made. So what's the nourishment of the ruh? What's the kut of the ruh in Arabic? What's the ghiza of the ruh in Urdu? The nourishment, sustenance of the ruh is things from that world. What are the things of that world? That's called the ibadat and zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's called the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually what happens is we're so busy nourishing our bodies, food and drink. Some of us are busy nourishing our mind, degrees and education, and we have not been nourishing our ruh. And the heart of our ruh, our qalb. We've not been nourishing it, because its nutrition and nourishment is the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. So this is one of the things our mashayikh help us in. That how did Allah ta'ala in our deen guide us to nurture our ruh? What's the nutrition of the ruh? And they motivate us to get that nutrition. Then a person comes with a healthy ruh. Just like if you didn't eat for so many days, what would happen? You would have a weak body. And when your physical strength became weak, you would find it difficult even to pick up a bag. Right? Just like that, when we don't do our ibadat and our zikr, our ruh becomes weak. Then when we go out to work with a weak ruh, we find it difficult to have taqwa. You'll find it difficult to lower the gaze. How will you be able to lower your gaze if your ruh is weak? If you miss fajr that day, you just didn't give your ruh your breakfast. It's breakfast. How is it going to lower its gaze? If you don't eat your physical breakfast, you won't be able to do physical tasks. If your ruh doesn't get its nutrition, it's not going to be able to do spiritual tasks. So the more ibadat we do, the more zikr we do, the more our ruh gets its nourishment and strength, and the more than we are able to follow the wishes and wills and commands of Allah Ta'ala, the more we can follow the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this ruh has different parts that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in Quran. First part is called qalb. That's the heart of the ruh. So sometimes we call it spiritual heart. Then, that's a part. Then you have the whole ruh itself. That's also inside us. Every atom of you has a ruh. From your fingertips to the tips of your toe, to the tip from your forehead. The ruh is everywhere. Ruh is everywhere. Third, Allah Ta'ala uses another word, Quran. Huwa ya'lamu sirra. Allah Ta'ala knows your sir. What's sir? Sir is not a physical organ. Sir is not a limb. Sir means the secret part of your ruh. Means that part in your ruh where you harbor things secretly. Example our mashayikh give is that sometimes a person secretly loves the world. Secretly means sometimes they don't even know it themselves. For example, they are walking, let's say, in some town, in some main street, and they think that they don't love the world. But all of a sudden, some shop, means some marketing, some window display, some attraction, some allure, all of a sudden starts attracting them, and then they realize, oh, I still love the world. I'm getting attracted to this. I'm attracted to the glitz, the glamour, the marketing, the shine, the design. And they realize, where did this love come from? It must have been there secretly all the time. And this is a proper field, literally. It's a multi-million-dollar industry of psychologists and PhDs in marketing. They're trying to understand this process. How to attract us to material items for which me and you have no need whatsoever. Yes, to try to create this consumerism, this attraction in us. They're trying to target that sir. They know that, no, don't worry, this customer base, they do have, there's the potential to attract them. Because secretly they like these things. It's there in their secret self. So Allah Ta'ala called this sir in Quran. Then another word is khafi. Khafi means that which you keep hidden. Hidden. An example of this our mashayikh give is that sometimes a person has envy for someone, but it's hidden. Where is it coming from then? It's in their khafi. It's hidden. Hidden from others. sometimes even hidden from themselves. For example, so women are listening as well, we'll give them an example. So there are two women and they're married to two brothers. So this is called sister-in-law. Now, they may both think they're fine, but actually it's possible one of them has a hidden envy for the other. How will we find out? One day when the mother-in-law praises daughter-in-law A in front of daughter-in-law B. So sometimes when this happens, daughter-in-law B's hidden envy will come out. Envy means that you don't like it when somebody else is praised. Why are they being praised? I should have been praised. Okay, if I shouldn't be praised, at least they shouldn't have been praised. You can understand, like men, that why did he get the job? Okay, fine, maybe I didn't get the job, but he shouldn't have gotten it. Anybody else in the world should have gotten the job, but not him. That's called envy. That's called envy. So sometimes that's hidden. Sometimes it's even hidden to us, or certainly we try our best to keep it hidden from others. So where is it? It's not in our physical. Hasad is not something that's in our lung. It's not in our livery. The doctor's here. Let's say it doesn't come up in our MRI. I said, this guy is hasad. Put him in your CAT scan. He's coming out clean. Because you don't have that. Mashaikh, we have that MRI. Oh. Hamare paas bhi ek x-ray MRI CT scan hota hai. Zara saamne aaye to dekhen kya hota hai. Oh, saamne nahi aate. Allahu Akbar. So that hasad is there. Hasad is in the khafi. This is the mashayikh. They used to see these things. Then there's something they said is akhfa. Most hidden. Most hidden. What's that? That's a person's love for themselves. This is called ujub. So the three words in Arabic, ujub, kibr, and takabbur. And actually we can reasonably explain these two with three words in English. Ujub you would call in English vanity or conceit. To love oneself, to find and be aware and to notice the good qualities of oneself. Kibr in English you would call arrogance. Kibr means to think of yourself as better than others. And takabbur means to treat others such that you are better than them and they're lower than you. It's a slight difference. This is a feature of the Arabic language. When you add more letters, we call ziyadat al-huruf leads to shiddat al-mana. So kibr and takabbur. So takabbur is more intense type of kibr. Kibr, to view yourself as better than others. Takabbur, to treat others as if they were lower than you. So maybe in English you could call this haughtiness. Right? So vanity, arrogance or pride, and haughtiness. These are three things. Guess which one is the most hidden? I'd say the first, no. Conceit. You can work on yourself to a certain extent, that okay, you don't treat others as if they're lower than you. Then you can go even deeper and work on yourself to such an extent that you don't even view yourself as better than others. But it's very hard to work on yourself to such a complete extent that you don't even view yourself as something anymore. Shaykh Ashraf Ali Thanvi Ramta, he wrote that the last inner sin to leave a person, the most difficult thing to remove, you will all have traces of it in your spiritual self. Like they say, you have traces of it still in your blood. Huh? The Shaykh Ashraf Ali Thanvi says, you will still, after a lot of zikr, a lot of ibadah, a lot of mujahida, you will still have some slight traces of ujub left inside you. And that's why you need to go to Shaykh. Shaykh is the only one that when he scrubs you, this is in Urdu we call ragra. How can I explain to you ragra in English? Huh? Allahu Akbar. Huh? Ajib. Allahu Akbar. Huh? Tell Allah, explain to you ragra. Huh? That when I worked in the university, we had a desk in the office. One day a person came to me from the staff and said, we need to take your desk away. I said, why? He said, because it's whatever that time of the year, we're going to polish the desk. I said, look, I'm completely fine. My desk is fine. It's any convenience to take all the stuff out? He says, no. I said, okay, fine. We have to let the people of khidmat do their khidmat. So I said, why should I only apply that in the masjid? I should apply it here also. I said, okay, you give me a couple hours, I have to take everything off. Okay, I cleared out the desk, he took the desk. Alright. He took the desk and there was a big courtyard over there. And on my way back home from work that day, I saw ragra. Yes, I saw ragra being done to the desk. What was happening here? That he had this tool, which is the carpenter's tool, which basically shaves off the layer of the desk. He was just scrubbing, scraping it off. This is called ragra nardu. He was scraping it off. Why? He could have just put the polish. No, ragra. You can't apply the polish first. You have to scrape all the old, thin layer of old wood off until the new wood comes from underneath, and then you will put a varnish, polish, enamel, whatever you want to call it. So that process of scraping off, that's called ragra nardu. So Shaykh ragra ke baghair ye ujub nahi nikalta. Until having somebody who scrapes these things off our heart, these things don't leave entirely. How much can you do it on yourself? No. So these were the five parts of the ruh. Qalb, the ruh itself, sir, khafi, and akhfa. And we gave you examples then of different type of spiritual sins that lie in these different parts. Another thing you need to understand, right? So I gave an example of ragra. Let me then tell you a second thing, because I wanted to explain something to you tonight, which I thought I've explained quite a lot. But a lot of you keep asking me the question. So the role of a sheikh, our mashayikh have also explained it like a gardener. In our language we call it mali, gardener. What does that mean? That you see there are two types of seed. One is that seed that doesn't have a gardener, that may just fall from a fruit or a plant and end up in the ground. Now nobody knows that seed is there. So people will come and stomp over that ground, they will step over that ground, they may do anything on that ground because nobody knows the seed is there. Let's say that seed still manages to grow, but because it doesn't have a gardener, it has no one to give water to it, no one to put fertilizer on it, nobody to transplant it to maybe a better piece of land, or to put it in a flower pot and put it out in the sun because it's untended, then sometimes that seed develops internal rot and some of its leaves rot, but because it doesn't have a gardener who will cut away the leaves that are rotting, the rot will spread to the whole plant and the whole plant will die. Sometimes another thing will happen, is that there will be an external threat called pests, and because there's no gardener to spray the pesticides to protect the plant from the weeds, let's say trim the weeds away, then the plant will also die. That's one type of seed. So likelihood of that seed sprouting and becoming a plant and a tree that bears fruit and flowers becomes less because it doesn't have a gardener. There's another type of seed that has a gardener. What does that mean? So the gardener has put the seed in the ground. Nobody knows that seed is in the ground. No one knows, but the gardener knows. People won't even see the potential. They will say, this is just ground. They don't see any potential of any one day plant, tree coming over there. But the gardener sees the potential. The whole world will see nothing, but the gardener sees the potential because he knows that a seed has been planted. So because he sees the potential and he knows the seed has been planted, he will give water to that seed, put fertilizer on that seed, put it in a plot, put it in the sun, take it out of the sun, care about its climate. Then as the seed does finally begin to sprout, if any leaf gets rot, the gardener will quickly cut that leaf out so that the rot doesn't spread to the rest of the plant. Then the gardener may give some guidelines, means a stick, so the plant has a way to grow in a straight way, in a correct way, in an upright way. Then if there's some weeds that try to encroach on the plant, then the gardener will quickly trim away the weeds to make sure the plant does not get affected. So the rot inside the plant is like the nafs inside of us. The weeds encroaching on the plant is like the waswasa of shaitan. The seed is actually the seed of our iman, and the fruits and flowers of the plant are the a'mal as-salih and the ahwal as-salih, the good deeds and the good feelings, good adab, good akhlaq, good kifiyat, and the gardener is like the sheikh, and the plant is like the student. This is the way our mashayikh have explained the virtue and benefit and what it means, and everything you will understand through this example. What is a sheikh? What's the purpose of sheikh? What's the value of sheikh? All of that is in the example of the gardener. Now sometimes Allah Ta'ala blessed this ummah with some master gardeners, the kibara awliya, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Ramtanlay, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Hamtanlay, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Hamtanlay, you can go further back in history, our own Sheikh, these were master gardeners. Now when their gardens became so big and so full, and now they're unable to tend to every plant themselves, so their plants that had grown more, they appointed them as deputy gardeners, as assistant gardeners in charge of that branch of the nursery. This one's in charge of that branch of the nursery. And if ever from your nursery you manage to actually produce a big plant, then you bring that big plant to the master gardener. Allahu Akbar. So in 2002, Shaykh made me a deputy gardener in his big garden. And then different times in our life, he put different areas of the garden under our care. So in 2005, near Lahore was put under in my care. And alhamdulillah, in 2012, we presented four of our more senior plants to Shaykh. And Shaykh gave four of our students khilafat also. The next year again, Shaykh gave some of our students khilafat. So this is the way it works. And we work on the plants, and if ever some plant actually makes it to that senior stage, then we can present it to the master gardener. In 2014, Sheikh put this Stanger in Durban and Joburg in your South Africa, the South African part of the garden under our care, so we had to come here in 2014. This is the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our tashkil. This is how tashkil works in our line. Well, this is what it means to have a shaykh. And we've explained to you, but some of you I think are new tonight, that what the shaykh does is basically two things. One is called ta'limat, teachings of tazkiyah. In our tradition, that's done through bayan and majlis. So anybody who's been here for a few days, you have a fair idea now what bayan is. Khair, if you just came tonight, you saw what bayan is. That's called bayan. Bayan means to take a topic and try to instill the feeling of that topic from Quran and Sunnah into the hearts of the people. That's called bayan. And the bayan in our line is not going to be about politics. It's not going to be about things like that. It's going to be like what you saw, mercy of Allah Ta'ala, zikr of Allah Ta'ala, azmat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, good character, not loving the world, loving the Prophet ﷺ. This is the topic of bayan. How to control your nafs, control your anger. This is the topic of bayan. So the first way the shaykh instructs the student is through bayan. Then we have a second thing, which is called majlis. That is what happens in these late night gatherings. Majlis means the shaykh specifically teaches zikr. Gives the teachings of zikr. What is zikr? How to do zikr? What's the method of zikr? Why are you doing zikr? What you should feel in zikr? How to focus in zikr? What to track in your zikr? That's called majlis. That's the practical advice. Those who have been here for a few days understand that as well. So bayan and majlis. So sometimes we will be here in front of you to give you bayan and majlis. That inshallah will be three times a year. And other times, like the other people in the world right now are listening to broadcast, you can listen to bayan and majlis from wherever we are in the world every week. In fact, we have a weekly program on your own, CII, every Thursday night, normally. But sometimes we don't manage to do it, but most of the time we manage to do that. So bayan and majlis. Your job is what? My job is to give bayan and give majlis. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us and accepted us that we are able to give bayan and give majlis. Now it's your job. Your job is to follow and live what you hear in bayan. Your job is to follow and do what you instructed in majlis. That's your job. That's not my job. That's your job. Understand that clearly. That's not my job, that's your job. My job, give bayan, give majlis. Your job, live the bayan and follow the instructions in the majlis. That's simple. When a student does that, and they do that regularly, and they become good in that, and that can take 6 months to 1 year for them to be a regular listener and follower of bayan, and regular listener and follower of majlis, then comes the third thing. That third thing is called rabita. Rabita means that to establish contact and communication for some direct counseling, problem solving, or troubleshooting. Before that, there will be rabita, but that communication will be about the bayan or about the majlis. That's it. All communication, correspondence, email, SMS, WhatsApp, phone, live meeting will be about bayan and bayan. What does it mean? that all we want to hear from you is, are you listening to Bayan or not listening to Bayan? Are you able to follow what you hear? You're not able to follow what you hear? You need some clarification on what you heard. You need some clarification on the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. We're there to guide you more on the topic of Bayan. Second, we're able to guide you more on the topic of Majlis. You have more questions about how to make zikr, we're there to guide you. You're making zikr, you're experiencing something, we're there to guide you. You're not making zikr, you're not experiencing anything, we're there to guide you. So the correspondence communication is about these two things. This takes about 4 months, 6 months, 1 year, depending on the person, depending on the background, depending how much effort they put. Because when they put effort, their life will start changing. It's a guaranteed thing. It's not because of me. It's not because of our line of mashayikh. It's the nature of deen. Anybody who puts the effort to follow the hidayat of deen will start becoming guided. Things will start being fixed in their life. Their taqwa will go up. Their haya will go up. Their ibadat will go up. The quality of focus in salah will go up. Their adab and akhlaq will go up. And it's our job. You don't have to self-assess. It's our job to track that in you. And as we watch that, as we track that, as and when we see that, then when you make sufficient progress, which is on the core deen, then we will talk to you, or rather let you talk to us, about what I call counseling, problem-solving, troubleshooting. It may be marital problem, it may be issue with children, it may be this, it may be that. That comes afterwards. Because like I told you, and I keep telling you, yes, first, you're not allowed to answer. First things first. First thing with Shaykh and student is not your marriage problem. First thing with Shaykh and student isn't your business issue. No, no, no. First thing is zikr and taqwa. That's it. First things first. All the topics of bayan, we want to see you living it. We want to see you trying it. All the instructions we gave you in majlis, we want to see you following, we want to see you practicing. First things first. But then if a person does write that first paragraph, then second thing, second. That also happens. That's the second thing. Second thing is, okay, I listened, I followed bayan, meaning following the teachings of deen. And I'm making zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, a lot of things have gotten better. 80%, 90% better. There are a couple of things I'm still stuck on in my life. That's called second thing, second. Then you sit down with me. Then we try to do some type of counseling, problem solving with the help and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? And I'll honestly tell you that problem solving, troubleshooting only works when you do the first things first. Otherwise there's no barakah in it. Because you won't get the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you adopt taqwa. Until you have more taqwa, more closeness to Allah ta'ala, your life has more sunnah, your life has more sharia. I can sit down for hours and try my best even to counsel you and troubleshoot your problems and issues, but there won't be barakah. We won't get the mercy of Allah ta'ala because you didn't do the foundational effort to get that mercy, which is to make tawbah and repent from sin and bring your life in alignment with the sunnah and sharia. So I have to take you in that first thing first. Alright? To take you on that? First thing first. This is the way we ourselves were trained. And for better or worse, obviously I think it's for better, but for better or worse, I'm only equipped and experienced to train you exactly like my Shaykh trained me. That's my temperament. I won't do anything else. I won't do anything new. We say in Urdu, hum to lakir ke fakir hai. Abhi aapko kaise samjhaye? Huh? Hum lakir ke fakir hai. Huh? Maybe we can explain to you, we strictly toe the line. That's the closest English equivalent we can give you. Whatever we learned, we're going to teach you exactly that. Nothing else, nothing different. Take it or leave it. Alhamdulillah. We're happy. Yes. Sometimes we explain it to people like this also. We are pure vanilla. We don't mix it up. I'm not vanilla fudge twirl. I'm not butter pecan. Pure vanilla, as it came, as we were transmitted. Alhamdulillah. This is the karam and fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the barakah. There's barakah in this. There's barakah in this. This is called the transmission of deen. This is called sanad and isnad. This is called silsila. What is this? Silsila to tawbah. What does it mean? Like tonight, we made tawbah together. I made tawbah with my shaykh. He made tawbah with his shaykh. he made tawbah to Allah with someone. That's what we explained to you. Let me explain to you. Allah says in Quran, right in the first generation. Allah tells Nabiya Kareem Sallam in Quran, فَاسْتَكِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ فَاسْتَكِمْ be steadfast كَمَا أُمِرْتَ as you Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have been commanded وَمَنْ تَابَ مَأَكْ and whosoever made tawbah with you. So it's not shirk, right? You make tawbah to Allah with someone. So the Sahaba, they made tawbah to Allah with the Prophet ﷺ. They're blessed. We don't have that opportunity. Tabin made tawbah to Allah with Sahaba. And the Sahaba made with the Prophet ﷺ. They had one more link. Tabai Tabin, they made tawbah with Tabin. And they made tawbah with Sahaba, who made tawbah with the Prophet ﷺ. But all of them making tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. So this is called Silsilat al-Tawbah. Okay, I can understand making tawbah to Allah, that we did tonight. Why make tawbah to Allah with someone? The with someone part, ma'ak, is that, Ya Allah, I'm making tawbah to you, I'm making a pledge to you, I'm trying to enter a pact, hence the word bayah, I'm trying to enter a pact on taqwa with you. I already did that in any case when I said kalima, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I've already pledged myself to you, but I wasn't true to that pledge. I fell back into sin. So now I'm making tawbah to you, and to help me follow through on this tawbah to you, to enable me to be successful now onward in my tawbah to you, Allah Ta'ala, I'm making tawbah to you with someone who is going to help me on that tawbah, who's going to guide me on that tawbah, who's going to coach me on that tawbah, who's going to tutor me on that tawbah. Because why wasn't I successful in my tawbah before? Because I couldn't follow up with the taqwa. I couldn't follow up with the zikr. I couldn't follow up with the tazkiyah. So now I'm making tawbah to you with someone who's going to train me what to do after this tawbah tonight. How I should be true to the tawbah. We say in Urdu, ek cheez sachi tawbah hai, ek cheez pakki tawbah hai. Sachi tawbah to Allah Ta'ala ke saath ki jaati hai. Pakki tawbah shay ki taleem seekhne se hota hai. Pukhtagi kisi se seekhne wale se seekhna padta hai. Means in English, that in order to be true to the tawbah, you have to learn how to be true. And how do you learn? I already explained that to you. That's called bayan, that's called majlis. These bayanat and majalis in which we transmit to you the teachings of Quran and Sunnah as taught and heartfelt taught by our mashayikh, help us be true to our tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the whole meaning of bayat. Now Allah ta'ala in Quran, now understand the history of Islam. Sayyidina Rasulullah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took four types of bayat. The first was called Bayatul Iman. That some people, when they would come to the Prophet ﷺ and they wanted to accept Iman, sometimes he used the word Shahada, sometimes he used this word Bayah, that I'm going to take a pledge from you on this Iman. Alright, but that's for non-believers accepting Islam. Second type of Bayat is when some Sahaba Ikram made Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ took a Bayat from them on this, that you're going to migrate and you're not going to go back to your homes until and unless I give you permission. You're going to give me a bayah on that. Third type of bayah the Prophet ﷺ took. This is known as bayatul jihad, bayat al-maut. Not all the time, not from everyone, but from some of the mujahideen, the Prophet ﷺ took a bayah from them. These are hadith in Sahih Bukhari. That break a pledge from them that you will fight even if death, al-maut, even if death is to come in front of you, you will not turn back. And the fourth type of bayah that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam took, that's called Bayat al-Tawbah. Bayat al-Tawbah of women is established in Surah Al-Mumtahana of Quran. It was recited just this night in Taraweeh. What does Allah Ta'ala say to the Prophet? Ya ayyuhan Nabi, O beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in ja'akul mu'minat, that when the believing women come to you, yubayyi'naka, to give bayat to you. On what? Ala an la yushrikna billahi shay'a, that they will not associate any partners with Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا يَسْرِكْنَ وَلَا يَزْنِينَ. They will not steal, they will not do zina, they will not do bohtan, they will not do slander. It continues then, وَلَا يَسِينَكَ فِي مَعْرُوفِ. They will not disobey you in any known matter. What does it mean? They're doing bayah that we won't sin. That they're already mu'minat. This can't be bayah till iman. Women don't do bayah till jihad. They already have iman. What is this bayah? It's in Quran. They already had iman, but they wanted to make a pledge to Allah Ta'ala that they wouldn't do sins. So they're coming to the Prophet ﷺ, making this pledge to Allah Ta'ala with the Prophet ﷺ. That's why Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايُؤُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايُؤُونَ اللَّهَ. Actually, those who make bayah to you, Prophet ﷺ, actually they're making bayah to Allah Ta'ala, but they're doing it with you. So they made this bayah on the Tawbah. So then what did Allah Ta'ala tell the Prophet ﷺ in Quran? Go back to Surah Mumtahan. Allah Ta'ala says, فَبَايَهُنَّ. You take their bayah. They came to you with this reason, you take their bayah. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُنَّ اللَّهُ. And you seek forgiveness for them, you ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive them. So if this happens, if you do that, they were sincere, they wanted to take bayah. You took their bayah and you made dua for forgiveness for them, then you will find that indeed Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor and Rahim, that Allah Ta'ala is all forgiving and all merciful. Then the bayat of tawbah of men is in several hadith in Sahih Bukhari. I'll mention one to you in Kitab al-Iman, narrated by Sayyidina Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. He says, a group of us Sahaba, we were sitting with the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ turned to us and said, oh my companion, shall I not take your bayah? And we said, surely on what, Ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet ﷺ, almost the exact same words as Surah Mumtahana, that you won't do shirk, you won't steal, you won't do zina, you won't do any sin. And they said, we gave bayah to the Prophet ﷺ on this. So this was a bayat of tawbah. So when our mashayikh, they now understand, when Sahaba came, then there was a fifth type of bayah, which the Prophet himself actually never took. That was called bayat al-khilafat. So when Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Ali, they took bayat al-khilafat, so the other Sahaba, they stopped taking this bayat of tawbah. They didn't take bayat of tawbah, rather, because they didn't want to create any confusion. And actually at that time, you can imagine that when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was the Khalifa, he was also the Shaykh of everyone. That was the way it was understood, because they were like, they were Khalifa to Rasul, they were saving the same function. After Khilafat al-Rashida ended, then that's another story which I can't get into right now, but we entered a tragic phase of Muslim history, and basically then the rulers weren't really what you would call, other than Umar bin Abd al-Aziz later, but you had all these Umayyads and Abbasid rulers who you wouldn't call them spiritual leaders. So then the Tabi'in, they revived that sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ of this concept of Bayt al-Tawbah. Tabi'in, they started doing this. Some called it Zuhud, some called it Tawbah, some called it Tazkiyah. The name doesn't matter, but the point is they again started formally instructing and tutoring people on how to purify their heart and connect to Allah Ta'ala. And it's continued from that time all the way up till today. So bayat is nothing more and nothing less than what I just told you it is. Sometimes a person asks a question that I don't know if I'm ready yet. Why? Because they say, oh, you know, you're going to tell me all these zikrs to do and I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. Alright, so understand that zikr is, strictly speaking, zikr is nafil. Means that after bayat also it remains nafil. Bayat can't change anything in the sharia. It's like before bayat was optional, now that I'm bayat it's going to be farz. Bayat cannot change anything in the sharia. But yes, what does happen, it's a natural thing, that if a person gives bayat, we've observed that they're more likely to do the zikr. More likely to do the zikr. I'll give you an example. University, there's a course called an elective course, which is optional. But that person who registers for the elective course, then they end up studying it. And that person who doesn't register for the elective course, more often than not, ends up not studying it. Alright? Second, a person says, oh, I don't know if I can leave sins. And if I give bayah, I'm going to have to leave sinning. I'm going to have to leave smoking. I'm going to leave this. You have to leave those things anyway. You have to leave those things because of sharia, because of sunnah, because of deen. It's irrelevant whether you're bayah or not bayah. The things you have to leave, you have to leave them. Bayat has no change in the sharia. It's not like it'll be a bigger sin after bayat. Sin is sin, it's the same level. But yes, we do observe one thing, that normally after people give bayat, they feel the sting and guilt of their sins more. And this is natural in any effort of deen. For example, if you at your age were to start memorizing Quran, and then you still started sinning, still sinned, so you would feel more embarrassed to say, I've started this effort, I'm memorizing Quran, and I'm still doing these sins. You would feel more embarrassed, just like that a person feels, okay, I've started this effort of doing zikr of Allah Ta'ala, I've started this effort of listening to and trying to practice bayans, I'm trying, on the one hand, I'm doing this effort to change myself and please Allah Ta'ala, on the other hand, I'm still sinning. You will feel more remorse over your sins. And that's a good thing. The Deen of Islam wants that. It's a matloob cheez hai. This is desired, that you should feel the sting of your sins more. Alright? Then sometimes a person says that, how do I know I'm ready? So there are two conditions to be ready. And I'll give you the example of a laundry machine. So when is the clothing ready to go in the washing machine? There are two conditions. Number one, the clothing must be dirty. And number two, there must be somebody who is hoping it can become clean. That's it. There's the only two prerequisites for bayah. And our society, we don't have these fancy conditions that, no, you have to write me 20 letters, or you have to spend 6 months with me first, or you have to do this. We have no conditions. That was the time earlier on. You know why? Because in earlier, 500 years ago, people came to Mashaykh not for the type of training I'm giving you. People came to Mashaykh because they wanted the marifat and qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a much higher level thing to tasawwuf. So for that, they used to look and see and select, are you really up to the task? But now the tasawwuf is back to its first goal. First goal of the tasawwuf is I need to leave all sins and bring my life according to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Second goal is, okay, once I've left all sins, let me get more qurb and more love and more belovedness. That's the second stage. We're on first stage, and that first stage is open for everyone, because in that sense, not bayt, bayt is optional. Tazkiyah is fard. Purifying ourselves of sins is necessary. So because tasawwuf is one effort that helps a person do that, our line of Mashaykh, we open it to anyone and everyone. There's no condition. There are two conditions. You have to be dirty, and you have to want to be clean. You don't have any guarantee you can make yourself clean. No need for that. I don't know if I'll be successful. No need for that. I don't know, sometimes I put this clothing, because we wear white. I don't know if it's going to come out clean. But I know it's dirty, and I know I want it to be clean, so I put it in the washing machine. If I take it, it's not clean, what am I going to do? I'm going to put it again. I'll put more soap this time. I'll put it on a heavier cycle this time. I'll keep doing it until it becomes clean. If I put it on, and then again I get it dirty, then again I'll put it back in the washing machine. And then again I'll get it clean. Then again, if somehow it gets dirty, then again I'll put it in the washing machine. This is what we do. That's called the tasawwuf. That's it. That's it. There's no other condition for bayt. Next, a person asked, okay, how do I know someone is the right shaykh for me? Alright. The answer to this lies in your own heart. Answer to this lies in your own heart. You have to ask your heart a very simple question. First, there's one issue, right? That the shaykh obviously has to be living a life according to Sharia and Sunnah. Now, some people say, but I'm not an alim of deen. I don't know the Sharia and Sunnah. So I say, no problem. You have to pick that shaykh who the ulama like and respect. Now, in this day and age, there's no one person that every alim likes and respects. That's another story. How can I explain that to you? Right? But if you see that there's a reasonable large number of ulama, for example, they invite shaykh to their masjid, to the darulum, to the madrasa for bayan, and also those ulama themselves, maybe even bayt to somebody else. That shows that the ulama, the muftis, they respect the shaykh. That's enough of a sign for you that shaykh is valid according to Sharia and Sunnah. Shaykh's temperament might be different from certain other ulama, different from other shaykh. It's nothing to do with temperament, nothing to do with style. We're just talking pure Sharia. Okay, when that is done, still there are multiple shaykhs, alhamdulillah, whose life and teachings are according to Sharia and Sunnah. So from them, how do you choose? You ask your heart. You have to ask your heart a simple question. O heart, whose company and whose words and whose teachings and whose line of teachings affect you? That's it. That person whose gathering and those teachings of those mashayikh, when transmitted and shared with you, if they inspire your heart to feel the fear of Allah Ta'ala, to feel the love for Allah Ta'ala, to hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, to want to do zikr of Allah Ta'ala, that means the transmission has already started. It means your heart has already become a receiver. Right? If your heart is feeling something, it means that it's established now, a link has been established already. So that link that Allah Ta'ala establishes for you, you should welcome it. However, yes, if you feel that there is no link, and there is no effect on the heart, then yes, now you have to change the channel. and see which one your heart's receiver will be able to be tuned into. And you keep looking and you keep searching. But once your heart receives the signal, once you feel the link is established, then there's no need to look any further. Then you should just begin. If Allah has already begun the process for you. That's the whole purpose of the Shaykh-student relationship, is that we need to put our hearts in the presence and the company of their hearts, so that the feelings that are in their hearts come into our hearts. And if it's already happening, then all you have to do is formalize that relationship. That's it. Then some of you have come to me and asked me, so I want to explain to you that yes, sometimes, many times even I would say, the way we actually take bi'ah is hand in hand, right? But because the gatherings are so large and the people who want to take bay are so many, if I start taking your bay individually hand by hand, then basically I may just be doing that for quite a long time. Right? So some of you are waiting for that to happen, so that's going to be difficult for me to do here in this gathering. Right? Another method of our mashayikh then is that we sometimes toss out a cloth. Shaykh Ladis Muhammad Zakaria, wasn't here when he was here, but in Pakistan, Shaykh Ladis Muhammad Zakaria played towards, because we here have heard stories of ulama who met him in the second half of his life, you can say, he also followed this practice of rolling out a cloth, so people still felt that engagement. They may not be putting hand in hand, but at least their hand was gripping a cloth that was in the hand of the Shaykh's hand. Our own Shaykh also, we saw him in many years of his life. He used to follow this practice. Then alhamdulillah, Ta'ala took so much work from him that the cloth was too small and the gatherings were too large. So then he used another cloth, which is called the loudspeaker. And then he just reads the bayat kalimat over loudspeaker. And that we've also done that several times here. Right, and anybody who recited those words with the niyyah that they wanted to become a student on the path of the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, you have to consider your bayat done. It's not some very fancy, formal, extra process that we have to do. It's an intention in your heart. It's a desire in your heart. It's you registering your heart and connecting your heart to a line of mashayikh. Bayat is not even done to one person. Bayat is done to a whole line. A continuous, unbroken chain of transmission going back to Tabi Tabi'in, Tabi'in, Sahaba. For example, our line goes back to Qasim bin Muhammad Abi Bakr, rahimahullah ta'ala, then to Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, then to Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, then to Sayyidina Nabi Akreem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the way our chain goes. That's the top of our chain, right? Bottom of our chain most recently is Hazrat Khwaja Ghulam Habib Ramtale, Hazrat Shaykh Zulfiqar Ahmed Naqshbandi Da Barakatum, and then now this fakir, this humble servant, has been sent to do your khidmat to teach you basically what I learned from my Shaykh. I view myself as nothing more than a postman. My job is to deliver the mail. Neither did I light the mail written by Mashaykh, neither do I figure out who the address is, you yourself write your address on it. My job is to just give you the mail. That's it. Another way we look at ourselves is like the faucet, the tap. You see now, the tap doesn't create the water. The water is coming from the supply. So actually, Allah Ta'ala sends. Allah Ta'ala is the one who does our tazkiyah. We already recited that ayah to you. That none of you would ever be able to do your tazkiyah ever. Walakin Allah. However, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yuzakki man yasha. He does tazkiyah whoever he wants. So this river flow, water of tazkiyah comes from Allah Ta'ala, but it comes to us through a pipeline. Just like everything else comes to us through some sabab, through some process. So we are just a tap. I don't create the water. I'm not the water. I'm just a tap. And the good thing for me is if you find a tap that nobody puts a glass in front of, the tap itself gets rusty. The tap doesn't get any water. The only way the tap gets water is if somebody else puts a glass and opens the tap. Nahi samjhe. Tooti ka kaam ban jata hai. Jab koi achche bartan uske saamne aaye. To hum us achche bartan ki talash mein aate hai. Nahi samjhe. Kaise samjhaya aapko? It means in English, and I'll translate it, but let's see if you can understand the translation. In English it means that the faucet or the tap is searching for good glasses, good bowls, good cups. Because the better the glass the tap knows, the more Allah Ta'ala will send water for this glass. And the more Allah Ta'ala sends water for the glass, the tap knows the water will come through me and I will also benefit. So I'm here for my own benefit. But the problem is that if the glass is dirty, no one likes to put water in a dirty glass. Even when you open up the cabinet and you see a glass and there's a single speck of dust in it, you don't want to put the water in it. You will first clean the glass and then put the water. So that's why we call it Bayt al-Tawbah. First we recite those words of istighfar and tawbah to clean the glass. So that once we clean the glass and then present it, hopefully Allah Ta'ala will put water means what? Allah Ta'ala will, through His mercy and His hidayah, put the feelings of iman, yaqeen, taqwa, haya into our heart. This is why we recite tawbah first. And what better night than to do tawbah tonight? This is an incredible opportunity. 27th of Ramadan and the night before Friday. It's an amazing opportunity. And some of us are musafir, and we're fasting, and it's Ramadan, and it has, those of you who have been attending the daily gatherings, all the hadith, sahih, if you mention the barakat of majalis of zikr, then the sahih about the barakah of people meeting one another from different families, different backgrounds. So many things are gathered all together here on this night. This is such a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kanam and fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, because several of you have requested this, and many of you actually already have given bayat on the loudspeaker, so what I've done is I brought one cloth. This was our method that our mashayikh would unwrap and unroll their own imamah. Now that I believe the rest of you have imamah, but you can bind it to this, you can attach it to this, but this is the best we can do. Alright? So we're going to roll this out, you're going to come and you're going to grab this imamah. Those of you who want to make bayt and silsila, and we will recite the words once again. If you can't reach the cloth, you can just recite behind on the speaker. Your recitation of those words with the intention of tazkiyah, with the desire to please Allah Ta'ala, with the desire to learn from the bayat and the majlis, that equals bayt. You should be fully content that the bayat has been done. You won't have to come then meet me again and ask me again in the room that I want to give bayat. It will be done. Alright? So we're going to roll this out. We're going to ask Yusuf, you take it as far as it will go. All of you come closer. Grab it as much as you can. You open it up. Those who have other pieces of cloth, you can attach it to this. Those who have imamas, you can even take your imam off and bind it to this. You have a random piece of cloth, you can attach it to this so that more people can get that feeling. You can use this ones. Isko ban lena in kisab. Kone par ban lena jitna ban sakte hai. You can take your turban off. Bind it. Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. Tie it to a corner. Pick some corner. And toss it in the back. And the women who are listening, wherever you are, you're on receiver, you're online, you women, you just have to recite the words with the intention. Anytime and in every bayan we recite the words, all you have to really do is just recite the words with the intention. So for women, it's not even necessary to hold any cloth, they will just recite the words with the intention of bayat. Anyone who wants to make niyat of bayt, they can grab the cloth. If you can't reach the cloth, you're sitting on a chair, you want to make niyat, you can make the same niyat without being able to hold the cloth. Any and all women listening, and at any time, anyone, even anyone listens to even the recording, you can make niyat of bayt. Bayt is just an intention in our heart. that, Ya Allah, I want to make tawbah, and all of you should make this intention in your heart now as I say it, that Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, I want to make tawbah for all of my previous sins. I want to change my life, Ya Allah. I'm turning to you, and especially on this blessed night of 27th of Ramadan, which my heart of hopes and my heart wanted to be Laylatul Qadr on this night of Jummah, Ya Allah, and the gathering of this masjid, the gathering of this majlis, and the gathering of people from different places, that I want you to accept my tawbah on this night. And I want, Ya Rabbi Kareem, that in the future I should live my entire life entirely for the sake of your pleasure, that I should live my entire life entirely following the sunnah of your blessed messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I want to commit my heart and desire to do my entire tazkiyah, to purify myself entirely from sin, and Allah, to make myself firm on this commitment, to make myself firm on this intention. I'm taking a bay'ah, a pledge to you, Allah Ta'ala, with a line of mashayikh, that by connecting my heart to theirs, by listening to their teachings and bayans, by trying to follow and live it to the best of my ability, by listening to the instructions in zikr and trying to practice the zikr to the best of my ability, I'm hopeful, Ya Rabbi Kareem, that my connection with them will bring me connected to you, that my following the teachings of Quran and Sunnah through their heartfelt words would put the heartfelt feelings of the deen in my heart as well, so that my heart also can have love for you, so my heart also can have fear of you. So to fulfill this intention of mine, Ya Rabbi Kareem, I'm taking these words of Baya. So you make this niyyah in your heart and repeat these words after me. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره من الله تعالى والبعث بعد الموت آمنت بالله كما هو بأسمائه وصفاته وقبلت جميع أحكامه إقرار باللسان وتصديق بالقلب أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أستغفر الله ربي من كل ذنب وأتوب إليه وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين. Alhamdulillah, by reciting these words we've made a connection to our line of mashayikh, and inshallah by following the teachings and practicing the zikr, may Allah Ta'ala put the nur of the love for him and the fear of him and taqwa in our heart. For those of you who may have been new tonight, understand very simply that the practice and method of the practice of zikr of our mashayikh is, number one, everyday recitation of Quran. This is called tilawat Quran. If you can read, those who are hufaz, they should read according to their practice and their tirtib. Those who are not hufaz, if you have a lot of strength and ability, you should try to read one juz a day. And if you don't have so much time and so much ability, you want to read half a juz, half a sipara a day. If you can't start with half a juz, half a sipara, you should start with something, anything, few ayat, few rukus, but make sure you get your daily dose of Quran al-Kareem. Once you start doing it daily and regularly, you will inshallah easily be able to reach half a juz, half a sipara a day. Second is that every day we have to renew this tawbah. Every day again we have to make istighfar. So every day 100 times to make istighfar. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli zanbi wa atubu ilay. And generally we've been explaining, and tomorrow we'll explain more, that you want to make this istighfar with feeling. It's all about the heartfelt feelings. So your heart, all the feelings we felt tonight, all the feelings we heard about in Bayan tonight, you want to try to relive those feelings every day. You want to reenact those feelings every day. You want to feel those feelings of istighfar. A person who feels the feeling of true istighfar tawbah even once, Allah Ta'ala can forgive them for a lifetime of sins. So imagine that person who can feel the feeling of istighfar 100 times in a day, just over one day of sins. How pure must they be? That's the real reason why we make istighfar. Because when it's done with feeling, it's an incredible purifier. Because just once with feeling would be enough for a lifetime. Third, you want to recite Durood Sharif, Salawat ala Nabi Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 100 times a day. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallam. Again with feeling. Feeling of love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Feeling of missing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, feeling of wanting to be the best follower of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, feeling of wanting being loyal to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sometimes we explain it in English like this, that the feeling we have when we recite Durood is that he is my Nabi, I am his Ummati. We're trying to remind ourselves that there's a relationship. I'm a human who has said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I've accepted somebody as my prophet. That has a meaning, that should have a feeling, that should have an impact, that should change my life. I have to remind myself of this relationship 100 times a day. He is my Nabi. Yes, he gifted himself to me. I'm his ummati, I gift myself to him. What does it mean? He spent his whole life for the sake of his ummah. So I want to spend my whole life for the sake of his sunnah. He spent his whole life worrying about me. I want to spend my whole life trying to be what he wanted me to be. Nanul baby span. He is my Nabi. What does it mean? He is my prophet, follower, leader. Prophet, leader. I am his ummati. I have to follow his leadership. I have to follow his instructions. It's not just that I believe in him. No, it's not enough just to believe. Believe, love, follow, obey, emulate. All of these feelings have to be there. So three things so far. Tilawat al-Quran, recitation of Quran every day. 100 times istighfar every day. 100 times Durood Sharif, Salawat on the Prophet every day. Fourth thing, which is actually the main zikr in the beginning. Because the main problem we have is that our heart isn't able to remember Allah Ta'ala. We already know how to make zikr of the tongue, but our heart is absent. This is called zikr al-qalbi, making zikr with the spiritual heart. And there are two ways we're going to do this. The first is called muraqabah. Muraqabah means to sit for 15 to 20 minutes a day, once a day or try twice a day. If you can't sit for 15, sit 5, 10 minutes a day. But to sit when? In your free time. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Sit in your free time. And this is a special zikr. What's special about it? That I'm going to sit in a special way, that because my intention is that I want to forget everything else and remember only you. This is special I want to spend. Otherwise, most of my day I have to do other things. I can't forget everything else. I'm busy working, studying, teaching, driving, shopping. I can't forget everything else. But I want at least some minutes of my day to be like that. That I forget everything else and I only remember you. That's called muraqabah. To remember Allah Ta'ala only. So to do this, Allah Ta'ala has given us several verses in Quran which have explained. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Remember your Rabb, do zikr of Allah Ta'ala inside, in your batin. What's inside is our ruh. I already discussed that with you earlier. Which part of our ruh does zikr? We mentioned the parts. Every part is going to do zikr of Allah Ta'ala inshallah. But we're going to start first with the qalb, the heart of the ruh, the heart of our hearts. So we're going to make niyyah that our qalb is doing zikr of Allah Ta'ala. How do we make our spiritual heart do zikr? You just make intention. You make the tongue do zikr by moving and pronouncing letters and words. You will make the heart do zikr simply by sitting and making niyyah that my heart is making zikr. So it's so easy. You just sit and intend that my heart is doing zikr. Your heart will start doing zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what will happen? Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Allah Ta'ala says, when you start making zikr of me, I, Allah, start making zikr of you. That we already covered 2-3 nights ago in Bayan. Allah Ta'ala making zikr of us means He will put His rahmah, maghfirah, hidayah into our heart. Then things will happen. Yes, things will change. How can you think that? You may think that my zikr of myself is too big to change me. How can we think that Allah Ta'ala's zikr of me is too big to change me? That's the hope we have, that أَذْكُرْكُمْ Allah will do zikr of us. That will definitely change us. Definitely change us. So you're not thinking anything else than the zikr. Now it will take you some time to get tuned to your heart, and take some time to tune your heart to the zikr of Allah's name. Just keeps mistake people make. And I'm telling you over and over again, why? Because people make this mistake over and over again. They stop sitting in muraqabah. They sit for a few minutes, they try it, they feel nothing, they give up. Don't give up. Keep sitting. Keep sitting. Every day sit. Morning sit. Evening sit. You feel nothing, keep sitting. The less you feel, the more you should do it. That's what I say. You think the more you feel, the more you do it. The less you feel, the less you do it. No, no, no. The less you feel, the more you do it. Just if you can do amal on that one sentence, you'll be set. The less you feel, the more you do it. Don't, what do you tell the students? You don't understand? Read it again. Yeah. The less you understand, the more you study. Right? But just like that in Raqabah. The less you feel, the more you do it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Look, what are you after? You're after the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. What I said, special zikr. You're trying to create a feeling in yourself that you forget everything else and only remember Allah Ta'ala. And we're really far from that. We don't even get that in Salah. We don't even get that in Sajdah. We're supposed to get that feeling in Salah and Sajdah. So we are so out of practice. So why do you think that you are that person who has prayed 5 times a day for 10 minutes each for 5, 10, 15 years of your life and almost never once could you get this feeling that I forgot everything and I only remembered Allah Ta'ala? What makes you think I'm going to sit in Raqabah within 10 minutes is going to happen? No, no, it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of practice. Keep sitting. It's your training for Salah. You make that niyyah. The more you remember Allah Ta'ala outside Salah, the more you will be able to remember Him inside Salah. Any ingredient in Salah that doesn't work, you have to fix it outside Salah. If you can't pronounce Quran correctly, you can't fix that by praying nafil. You can't fix that by praying. You have to go to a qari and be instructed in some exercises and sit and practice those recitations until your pronunciation is correct. If you don't know the masail, the fiqh of Salah, the rulings of Salah, you can't fix that by praying nafil. You outside Salah, you have to go to an alim, mufti, and learn the rulings of Salah. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? If I forget this, do I have to make extra sajda? If I forget this, I don't have to make extra sajda. If I forget this, the whole prayer is gone. Even if I make extra sajda, you can't learn that while praying. You have to go to separate outside prayer, you have to do it. Third ingredient of Salah. First ingredient was the tajweed, tilawat. Second was the masail, to know what to do. And third was to know how to feel. You're not going to be able to fix that inside Salah. You've been praying for years, has it been getting better? You tell me. The more you pray, the more you feel, is that happening to you? No, no. So outside prayer, you will have to go and practice the zikr. Practice the feeling. This is muraqabah. So you're going to have to put in a lot of time. You don't have so much time, it will take you longer. It's just a reality. But keep doing it, no problem. Let it take longer. Even if it takes years. People spend years just to get a simple BA. Huh? And you're trying to get what type of zikr? Special zikr. That you remember Allah Ta'ala so much, such that you remember Him only, and you forget everything else in the world. But give it the time. Give it all the time. This should be Ajahn. I'm willing to give all the time it takes to get this zikr. That should be your feeling. Not that, okay, I'll try it for 5, 10 minutes, and if after 3, 4 days I don't feel anything, I'll stop. What type of email is that to write? Huh? Did you go to med school for 5, 10 days for 5, 10 minutes? Would you become a doctor that way? It's not possible. Do you open up your shop for 10 minutes every day? Huh? Would you get anything? You tell me. If you open up your shop every day for 10 minutes, will you get anything? If you go to work for 10 minutes, will you get anything? If you do your labor for 10 minutes, will you get anything? What in the world makes you think? It's going to take time then. And if you're not happy with your progress, give it more time. If you think you're not getting results, start giving more than 10 minutes a day. This we don't tell you normally in the beginning because you get scared. Like, whoa, what just happened? We signed up for 10, 15 minutes. Huh? Ah, Allahu Akbar. Yes. Huh? Ye ragra shuru kar diya maine. Huh? Maulana? You think of Rani, it's a regular bad me yoga. Thoda sa desk istamal ho, phir dagra lagega. Kya kare? Yeah, if you're not happy with your progress, put in more time. Our Mashaikh, they say in Urdu, jitna gur utna mita. It means in English that as much sugar as you put, as sweet it will be. You want to put half a teaspoon every day, so be it. That's how much sweetness you'll get. You want to put 3 teaspoons every day, you'll get more sweetness. So that's up to you. If you have more free time, do more zikr. The more zikr you do, the more you will be able to get this focus and concentration on Allah Ta'ala, the more your salah will get fixed. And the last method of zikr our Mashaikh have taught, which helps us a lot in this. And this is that zikr that you can do when you're busy. Allahu Akbar. So now the Mashaikh answered this question. That person says, I'm too busy to make zikr. Said, okay, we come up with a zikr to do when you're busy. Paske. Bakre ki maa kab tak khair manayenge? Now this I can't translate for you in English. Allahu Akbar. So this is the zikr to do when you're busy. We won't let you go at all. Even when you're busy, you have to make zikr of Allah Ta'ala. How do I make zikr when I'm busy? Busy working? Yes. Busy studying? Make zikr. Busy shopping? Make zikr. Busy driving? Make zikr. Whatever you're busy doing, just make the intention that Allah Ta'ala, I'm busy doing this, but my intention is that my heart keeps remembering you. I'm busy doing this, my heart keeps remembering you. I'm busy doing something else, my heart keeps remembering you. I'm going to shift to this, my heart's still remembering you. Now I'm going to start this, my heart will keep remembering you. You just keep making this intention all the time. That's it. Thousands of times a day in the beginning. You will have to remind your heart thousands of times a day in the beginning to remember Allah Ta'ala, because thousands of times your heart forgets Allah Ta'ala. As you keep reminding, now watch this. You keep reminding, keep reminding, keep reminding, your heart will start remembering. You keep on reminding, you keep on reminding, you keep on reminding, your heart will keep on remembering. You continue reminding, your heart will continue remembering until your heart starts remembering Allah Ta'ala on its own. Then what will happen? When your heart starts remembering Allah Ta'ala on its own, then your heart will start reminding you of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Yes? If something happens, you're about to get angry, snap at someone, your heart will remind you, Allah, you will bite your tongue. Something panic situation happened, you're about to get worried, your heart will remind you, Allah, you'll feel tawakkal on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you relax, my Allah ta'ala is with me. You keep reminding your heart, inshallah ta'ala, one day your heart will start reminding you. Then you will know what zikr is. You reach this and you will come and tell me everything you told me was right. Why didn't you tell me earlier? You will come and tell me, why didn't you push me harder? Yes, those who finally get the name of zikr, they say that. Ab zyada ragda kyun nahi lagaya? Pehle ragda kyun nahi lagaya? Aapne kyun riyaz ki ke main maulana hu? Aapko ragda lagana chahiye tha. The people who feel it, they come back and they say, in English it means, that why were you soft with us? We want this blessing. We should have gotten it earlier. We should have gotten it sooner. We should have gotten it faster. You should have pushed us harder. But we know that if we push you too hard too soon, then it won't work. You push yourself. That's the pleasure. You push yourself harder, you'll be amazed how far you can go on this path to get the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the 5 practices of zikr. In case anybody was new, even the old ones, they got to hear yet another way that this is explained. But let me tell you one thing. Once you get the experience, you won't need any of these explanations anymore. Hakikat mil jaye to sab tabir sakat ho jate hain. Means in English that if I tell you what a mango tastes like, if you've never tasted a mango, so I may have to use a lot of explanations. It's soft, it's succulent, it's juicy, it's tasty, it's fleshy. I could every night give you different explanations. The day you taste a mango, you will no longer ever need any of my explanations again. Because you have tasted it, you have experienced it. Inshallah, you make this effort, you work on your zikr, you will experience zikr. Once you experience what zikr is, then there will be no more questions. You won't even need to remember those explanations. You won't have to remember, what did he say? What was that word? You won't need any of that anymore, because you will have first-hand experienced it yourself. Go for it. Work for it. Chase the zikr. Reach for the zikr. Make the zikr happen. Inshallah ta'ala, this is a great night to make such an intention. So on this night, there's not so much time left, but still make some zikr, still make some ibadah, but most of all this night is a night of tawbah and a night of dua. Beg Allah ta'ala for mercy. It's not enough to beg once in the gathering. Keep begging. Say, Allah ta'ala, I begged you with others, now I'm going to beg you alone. I cried with others, now I want to cry alone. I said ameen to others' du'as, now I want to make my own. You have to keep making tawbah on this night. Keep making dua on this night. And make good niyyah, good intention, good resolutions on this night. Like we made this niyat of tazkiyah, we made this irada. May Allah ta'ala accept our irada. May He accept our niyyah. May He grace our niyyah on this night with all of the power and qadr that is little to qadr. May He multiply that niyat with 83 years of work, 83 years of multiplying effect. And may Allah ta'ala make us amongst His muttaqeen, salihin, zakireen, mu'mineen. Wa akhir da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. We just spent a few minutes practicing this muraqabah, and then we'll let you go. Close your eyes and bow your head. Disconnect yourself from the world and everything that it contains. Make niyyah, Ya Allah, I'm turning to You from my heart, from the heart of my ruh, from the core of my being. And Ya Allah, all I want is to remember You. I want to forget everything in the world. I want to remember You only, Ya Allah. I'm becoming unaware of myself, unaware of my thoughts. I want to be unaware of my heartbeat, unaware of my breathing. I want to be unaware of anything and everything that is other than You, so my qalb can finally be unlocked and unleashed to be aware of You. In order to focus on Your zikr, Ya Allah, I'm going to focus on Your blessed name, the name that You said in Quran, Tabarak asmu Rabbik, and full of blessings is the name of Your Rabb. The name of our Rabb is Allah. So Ya Rabbi Kareem, I'm focusing my spiritual heart, my qalb, making intention that my qalb is calling Your name, and I'm silently, humbly listening to that call, that my qalb is making zikr, Allah, Allah, Allah. اللهم إنا لذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك وتلاوة كتابك يا رب كريم. We ask that due to the barakah of this night, يا الله, you make us strong in our zikr, steadfast in our zikr. يا الله, we have spent so many years praying with empty hearts. يا الله, we want this to change, يا الله. We're begging you on this night, يا رب كريم. Make our prayers heartfelt salah, heartfelt dua. Bring our hearts back into our salah. Fill our hearts with zikr, يا الله. Allah, we too want to do wa aqim as salat dhikri. We want to establish the prayer to remember you. We want to pray in order to feel your qurb. We want to pray in order to feel your love. We want to pray in order to feel your nearness to us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to pray in such a way. Fix our salah this Ramadan. Fix our salah on this night, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Make us pray the prayer of lovers, Ya Allah. Make us grant us the prayer of your beloveds, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, those who made this niyah on this night, accept this niyah from us, Ya Allah. Make us true, Ya Allah. All of the truest salikeen and zakireen, talibeen from the history of our ummah, whatever du'as they made to you, Ya Allah, due to which you granted them success on this path, Ya Allah, accept all those du'as from our behalf on this night, Ya Rabbi Kareem, and grant us success on Sirat al-Mustaqeem. Grant us istiqamah, Ya Allah. Grant us falah and foes, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, those who visit us tonight, and they travel from different places, accept their journeying, Ya Allah, accept their travels here, Ya Allah, accept their presence here, Ya Allah, before they rise up and return to their homes, Ya Allah, grant them their murad, grant them their wishes, grant them their desires, Ya Allah, grant them yourself, Ya Rabbi Kareem. All of us came here seeking you, wanting to get your mercy, seeking the gathering of your mercy, seeking a connection to your love, Ya Rabbi Kareem, before we rise and return to our homes, whether we rise on this night or we rise on the night of Eid, Ya Allah, before we rise, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant it to us, Ya Allah, grant us our heart's desire, Ya Allah, grant us that taqwa, Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us that qurb, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, we ask that you keep us always in your aman and hifaza, grant our heart always a state of sukoon and itminan, keep us in your protection, Ya Allah, put peace in our heart, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, we ask that you honor all the heartfelt, pious, heartfelt du'as of any and all of them. Ya Allah, anyone and everyone who may have asked any one of us ever to make du'a for them, Ya Allah, we remember on them on this night. Ya Allah, grant all of them everything that they wish, everything that they need, everything they desire. Grant them that which is best for their akhirah, best for their deen, and good for the dunya. What best for their akhirah, best for the deen, and best for the dunya, Rabbi Kareem. Rabbana takabbal minna innaka antas السميع الأليم وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين. Those who will be spending the night, and we would encourage if the people who are from Durban can manage to spend the night, that would be wonderful, that they could try to spend one complete night in the masjid. But if somebody is under severe duress and they have to travel, then we wish you a safe journey home. And upon arrival at home, still try to do some ibadah and stay up and remain awake till suhoor and fajr. Guard your tahajjud and fajr on this night if you're traveling. For those who are staying here the night, this could be that one night when you try to be up all night for ibadah. And we have no morning program scheduled for you either for this reason. The next program, Matab after Fajr Salah, will be Jummah Salah, and Jummah Beyond Salah, inshallah ta'ala. And if for some reason you can't manage to stay up all night either tonight, just do this much to push yourself a little bit more this night than you did on any of the nights that you have been here. There is no particular fixed ibadah to do on this night. Try to do a little of everything. Right? So that if it is that night, you can say, I did Durood Sharif for 83 years, Istighfar for 83 years, Tilawat for 83 years, Muraqabah for 83 years, Nafl Salah for 83 years, Dua for 83 years, Istighfar for 83 years. Do a little bit of everything. And like we said, the main purpose is Dua. So make lots of Dua, lots of Istighfar, lots of Tawbah, and beg Allah Ta'ala to accept our good intentions on this night. جزاكم الله خير يا سنة جزاكم.